Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
Man, after that, I don't even need to share. Good, dismissed. Y'all take care. Y'all have a good one. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. My wife and I have gotten to know those guys really, really well. And God has really seen them change life through the context of relationships. And that's one thing you'll see a lot about us with our church is, yeah, God has blessed us and a lot of people have wanted to come around and be a part of what God's doing. Yeah. But at the end of the day, we never were just about trying to have a bunch of people. We've been about just wanting to connect people in friendships and relationships. When Stephanie and I first moved here, we started to meet different people. And as we met some people, the number one thing we heard over and over and over, which was interesting to us, was this: Pastor, we're lonely. We don't have any friends. We don't have any relationships. And I was like, wow, okay, that sounds kind of crazy in a city this big. But I've learned real quick that you can be in a crowd and still be alone. You can. And so what we have done is we've done our best not to be a gathering, but to be a spiritual family and help really come around you. And so we're doing our best to do that. That's why we're having men's night tonight. That's why we're doing the things we're doing. We set things up where you can serve. We do small groups. Small groups isn't about small groups for small groups' sake. It's really just an environment to try to help you build and might meet friends and make some friendships and some relationships. And so that's what that's all about. And you guys will love that, be a part of it. Hey, a couple things as we jump into a new series. If you have your Bible, you go up to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. If it is your first time here, my name's Jason. I'm the pastor here at the church. I would like to look online as well for everyone who's watching online and one of our additional seating areas that if you're watching me on the screen at any level, we're so excited to have you. And there's this awesome thing coming up called Saturday Night Service. And it's not next Saturday, but it's the following Saturday. It's February 17th. We'd love to have you 5 o'clock. It's the same service, same exact set message, worship, all of that. We're just creating more space. So, hey, can we give it up for everybody who's watching online or watching a screen anywhere? Excited to have all of y'all with us. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to go there in just a moment. One thing I do want to say about a couple things. Men's night is tonight, and I typically have a guest, but I wanted this year, I feel like I have a word for our men, specifically for our men. And so I'm going to invite you out. So yes, if you jump on and register, that just lets us know to make sure that we have enough food. That's really the main reason for it. So if you could do that, that would help us a lot. And in my personal opinion, we're having the best barbecue in Katy, in my opinion, of the barbecue. So we'll make sure you be here for that. It's going to be awesome. And I have a great word for you. Also, with Saturday night starting, I want to just thank y'all. Thank y'all for so many things. Let me tell you a couple things in particular. The vision here at our church is reaching people and building lives. It comes from Matthew 28, where it says, go into all the world. Jesus gives the great commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. And so those two things, we know that was the last thing Jesus told us to do when he left. And we really believe and know that's going to be the first thing he asks when he comes back. And I want us to be a church that always makes decisions, that always sets things in order and strategies and systems and from our heart, that we're always doing things to help reach people and build people, reach people and build people. And I came to you guys a couple weeks ago. I'm like, hey, we're starting a whole nother service. And so we have a whole nother list of volunteers that we need Dream Team to step into to help us so that we can service people well for this service. And so many things has filled up, almost all the teams have. And I came to y'all with kids in particular, and so many of you guys started stepping up towards kids. We need a little bit more with kids to kind of fill that up. They're actually going to put a QR code behind me just to kind of be there. That, man, if you're willing to jump in and help. And it made me think, I started to think about this, and just as we create space, people being willing to step in. And I can't help but go all the way back to about 8 years ago when we started this church. And I remember we moved here with 65 people, and we started Beckendorf Junior High. And I'm careful not to look around too much because I can see some faces that were here from the very, very beginning. And I remember we did whatever we could to try to get ready for people coming. I remember you just look at somebody and say, hey, can you say Jesus? Jesus. Okay, you a usher. I mean, that's just kind of how you had to get things done back in the day. You know, it's like, don't talk to people, just help them be seated. You know, that's it, because I don't know what you might say. So you just kind of do whatever you can to get people in those spots. And I remember one in particular, and you're at this service, Grant. I've talked about you every service. Grant right here. Grant waved so everybody knows I'm not lying. Okay, that's Grant right there. And so Grant and Simone, they moved with us with their wonderful family to start. And I'll never forget, I remember this. We were at Beckendorf Junior High. We're getting everything ready, and nobody knew how to do the PowerPoint. You remember that? Nobody knew how to do that. And so I had a computer, and I went to Grant. I said, Grant, do you know how to do the PowerPoint? He goes, no. I said, well, guess what? You are a PowerPoint guy, you know? And I just gave it to him. He's like, all right. And do you know, he figured it out. And what, for 2-3 years? I can't remember how long it was. About 3 years, ran it, built a team, got going, just figured it out. And you know what the cool thing is? He did that. When I come in on youth on Wednesdays, guess who's in the back running all this stuff? His son who was with him all those years, helping learn how to do these things. You want to know why? I'm going to look at Grant for a second, and Simone, come on, look at him. I want to thank you because you loved all these people and you hadn't met them yet. Before we even move here, you prayed. You prayed for people you hadn't met yet. There's several in here. About, I don't know, several years ago, about 300 of us knew that we needed to get into a permanent situation in this building. And so we came together and we prayed, and we all did our best. I did my best. My wife and I, we gave more than we've ever given personally to a building. And we had some people that they didn't go on vacation that year. They didn't do certain things. It's because they knew when we set up a place for God's presence and people to come, that people who didn't know Christ would come to Christ. People whose marriage was a mess would get things right. People like Angie and Colburn would now have a place to get connected in relationship and grow and all of that. And they loved you before you got here. And we watched it happen when we went from one service to two services to three services into a building. We're like, hey, whenever we created space to reach more people and build more people, it always required a group of people to step up and say, hey, I'm going to jump in there. And so many of you guys have done that. And I'll just say this, if I could just be a little bit bolder and say this. Hey, it's our time. It's our time to step in to be able to help. And so many of you already have. But man, and guess what? Guess what? It's never going to stop. You want to know why? Because the direction of the kingdom is always forward. God's going to give us more opportunities. And as he gives us opportunities, it's going to give us a chance to say, all right, I'm in. I'm going to love people, although I haven't met them yet. And when we do that, we'll never be able to build a place big enough because we're doing it for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, I think we ought to pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you've put us, that there's so many people who've come and enjoyed and resonated with what you're doing here. So many that have been lost and now they're found because of you, because of your house. God, for those that were lonely, as I mentioned earlier, it says in your word that you take the lonely and you place them in family. God, there's several that just years ago, they didn't know anybody. Now they have all these friendships and relationships, Lord God. That's what your house does, God. That's what your church is. That's who we are, Lord God. We thank you that you're opening up another opportunity for us and you'll continue to do that. Father, in each step of the way, I pray that we would just stay in step with your spirit, Lord God, so that we follow what you want to do. We love you. God, anoint me for what you want to say today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Starting a series on relationships. On relationships. A lot of churches do a series on relationships right now. I've never done it until this year. I think the main reason they do it is because it's right around Valentine's Day. So you got that? So men, Valentine's Day. It's coming up, all right? Oh, Pastor, don't worry about it. My spouse said, don't worry about Valentine's Day this year. She's lying. Okay, that's not true, all right? It's not true. She cares, all right? So make sure you do something, all right? With all of it coming up and in relationships. Why are we talking about relationships, Pastor? I'll tell you why. And I've said this for years if you've been around, because the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. If I find somebody who, man, things are going well, their heart feels full, I'll tell you, they have great relationships all around them. For those who have feeling alone, feeling down, feeling a lot of different things, I can show you someone who maybe things aren't aligned well with their relationships. You know what I'm talking about. Because especially if you have a close friendship and things aren't right with that close friendship, how many of you know things aren't right? you get kind of shaky. You get kind of what's going on. My wife and I have been married 25 years, and whenever we have a little spat, I know you're pastors, you never had spats. We're people is what we are, right? We're normal. And say so you have a little spat, you'll have something going on. How many of y'all know it doesn't matter what's happening? It doesn't matter how great things are. PJ is not good because we're not good. Because the quality of our life is determined by the quality of our relationships. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about relationships. Not just me, we're going to go into what the Bible says. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about relationships. Has a whole bunch to say because he knew we had to figure this thing out, right? So we're going to talk about a bunch of things. We're going to talk about communication. Come on now, we need some communication help around here. You ever say one thing and somebody heard it a different way and you're like, wait, what happened here? You know, so we're going to talk about communication some. We're going to talk about what do you do with hurt? What do you do with offense? Because guess what? There's two groups in here, people who've been offended and people who've been really offended. It's never not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, you know? And so we're going to talk about what do we do with these things and what happens in these moments, because yes, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships, but it's not just that. Did you know that the currency of the kingdom is relationships? Like what God uses in our lives is relationships. Many of you, you are here. Most of you, you are here right now because of a relationship. Somebody invited you to come. Now, some of you drove by and you saw the building. You're like, that place is cool. Let's go to church there. There are some people who came to that, you know? And so kudos to our team who helped put that whole thing together. But they use it. You met somebody who talked to somebody. And somebody invited you. Because the currency of the kingdom is relationships. In Genesis chapter 17, we see God's relationship with Abraham is what ushered in the promise of God. We see that it all happened through relationship in Exodus 21. We see the law, how the Hebrew people were governed, came through the relationship of God and Moses. The redemption of the whole world. Hebrews chapter 8, we see that God's relationship with his son, he sent his son to come and die on a cross. It was through relationship. And what God has used, his plan to take over the world, his church, it came through his relationship with his church, Matthew 16 and 18. Talking about how important relationships are and how the kingdom is built off of relationships, the currency of the kingdom is relationships. You even look in your Bible, Old Testament, and all the Old Testament and the Old Covenant that we see, it's all pointing towards Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene. He's ushering in a new covenant of grace. He's ushering these things in. And when you, here we go. So we're going from Old Testament right to New, Matthew chapter 1, story of Jesus, new covenant, the whole thing. Guess what it is? It's a bunch of the father of, the father of, the father of, the father of. You know the whole part you skipped over reading, that part right there? It's all that, it began, the whole thing began by, hey, here's the relationships that I worked through to bring the Savior into the world. So I want to share just a simple message with you today, and I just entitled it this. I like to keep simple messages out, simple titles out there so you can understand. It's just this, you need people. You need people. Hey, you know what I've learned? You know when I've learned that you need people the most? When you need them. You can't always say, hey, at Tuesday at 3 p.m., I'm going to need you. You just need people in your life. And so I want to look at a story, a familiar story, but I'm going to take a different angle, an angle that many times I've even preached off of this story in one specific angle, but I want to take another one. And we're actually going to talk about what are some things that God would say to us about relationships. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 16, we just came off of, it's the story of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets. And maybe out of all the stories in the Bible, if you wanted to get the best story of probably good versus evil, it's probably this one. It's probably the chapter before, chapter 18, where this was the prophets of Baal versus God and his prophet Elijah. Now, the prophets of Baal, they were making all these claims, and Elijah came and said, the God that answers by fire is the one true God. So there they go. They have a big standoff, and hundreds of prophets of Baal, and they're cutting themselves, and they're making all these chants, and they're saying these things to try to get Baal to come and answer by fire. And it went on and on and on and on, all the way to the point where Elijah started talking trash to him. I like Elijah. talking a little noise, you know? So he's talking, and he starts saying these different things. It finally gets to Elijah's turn. He goes, okay, so there's the sacrifice. And he goes and actually digs a trench around the sacrifice. Then they come and they pour water after water, buckets and buckets of water on the sacrifice where it's drenched. It's so drenched that it seeps down and it fills up all the trenches. And then he prays and asks the God to come by fire, and fire comes down, consumes the sacrifice, and then begins to kill all the prophets. Man, what an awesome moment. Now, right after that, there's a key thing that happens where he's threatened by Jezebel, that's the king, Ahab's wife. And we'll see how he responds and what God wants to say to us about relationships through all of this. So here we go. Verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. That'll be important in just a little bit. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over some coals and some gumbo. So, sorry, it's around lunchtime, my bad. All right, sorry, that's not true. It's water, okay, all right. He ate and drank and laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into the cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Y'all know I've taught you this for years. If God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He wants to know, do you know the answer, right? He replied, well, I'm very zealous for the Lord, God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go outside, out, and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now, this is the part we normally preach on right here. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're here to kill me too. The Lord said, go back to where you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. You will get there. Anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, however you say that word, to succeed you as, by the way, can I tell you? So one of my biblical professors in Bible college told me this, when you don't know how to pronounce a word when you're reading it, if you just say it with utmost confidence, everyone will think that's how you pronounce it. So there you go, all my small group leaders out there, all right, who's going to read through this. So I'm going to try that again, okay? And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mahala, to succeed you as prophet. That's how you say it. All right, so I love talking about relationships, I do. I love talking about friendships. I've learned there's really two types of people, groups of people here. There's one that, like, you don't need a lot of relationships. The truth is, like, give me one or two good friends and I'm good, and they're good. Then there's other in here, like, no, you don't want one or two friends. You like you want like 20, 50, 100 friends. You like, the more there is, the more of a party there is, there's good. So let's find out who's here real quick. How many of you say, Pastor, I just need one or two and I'm good? Where's my one or two and I'm good? How many of you say, Pastor, give me a whole bunch. I'll just take all of them. Just bring them all here, all right? Now, there's a bunch you didn't raise any hands because you're like, I'm an introvert. I hate people. I don't even know why I'm here. All these people around me. So, no, I get you. I have something for you. 5 o'clock Saturday night service, all right? And you will be good and happy. Now, I did some research on relationships and friendships, and it's interesting when you start to look at some things. When you look at some of the happiest places in America, I looked around there, some of the different cities and towns and all this stuff. The number one thing that's always above all of it, more than just opportunity or any of that, the number one thing is the number one reason people move to different places or go where they go, it's relationships. That's what makes the happiest people around. People have friends all around them. Also, as I looked a little bit and looked even into some studies on employment, do you know most employees, if they could only have one, they would choose a friend over a raise? Now, some of you think, man, give me the money. I ain't worried about them people. But they really, because it doesn't matter how much, how many of you know, it doesn't matter if you make a bunch of money, you can't stand anybody you work with and they can't stand you. At some point, you're like, I'm out, right? Make no mistake about it. People don't leave organizations. They leave people. That's why they leave. They want to get out of all that. But I also did some studies. Interesting. There's a lot of physical health benefits and mental health benefits to having friendships. Studies show that all the friendships, they help you. They'll actually boost your immune system, lower your stress, increase happiness. Good friends help promote healthy habits that you actually can see physical, seeing what's going on in our physical body related to the relationships that we have in our life. And so your pastor has come to this conclusion about all these health benefits with relationships. That it's better to have cake with a friend than eat kale by yourself. Come on, somebody, say amen in the house of God. Say amen in the house of God. You keep your turnip greens and be healthy. I'm fine. I'll have some friends and king cake in Jesus' name. But here's the thing you need to know for sure. It's bigger than just you need people. You were designed to want to connect with people. That even the most introverted person in this place, whether you're watching online or whatever it may be, the most introverted, you still at some point go, okay, I need to get around some people. I need to get, and I'll tell you why. Because all the way back in Genesis, when man was created, the Bible actually says this. Go back and you'll read it and you'll see. He says, let us make man in our image and likeness. Notice God didn't say, let me make. He said, let us. Who's us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. So it is hardwired in our DNA that we were made from relationship for relationship. We were. And so that's why it's in all of us to want to connect and to want to be around people. And there's something else I've learned about relationships. Very important. I want you to catch this. I've seen this. One of the key challenges I've seen with people that I try to help throughout all my years is this, that oftentimes we look to God to do for us what he always uses people to do. And we look for people to do for us what only God can do. Whew, you want to talk about get your throne off quick. We start looking to God. I want God to do it. Well, I put people in your life to help you with that. No, I don't want them. I want you, God. Nope, you need people. Because you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we confess our sins to God and he will forgive us. But we confess our sins to one to another that we might be healed. That's why you have a bunch of people who are forgiven, but they're not very healed. And you can tell because as soon as you trigger them, they go off. As soon as things happen, oh, they throw you into another category. They cut people off quickly. Why do they do that? Because they're forgiven, but they're not healed. And here, the other side's just as bad, though. Whenever we say, okay, you know, I'm going to put on a person what only God can do for me. You know, that's what happens in marriages, in relationships. When somebody says, you know what? I thought you were going to be the one who completes me. I thought you would be the one who helped me feel this better about myself. I thought you're not doing any of that. I could tell you why. Because that's not their place. Only God can complete you. Only God can. I love my wife. We have a great relationship. I can only do so much for her. At some point, she's got to get it from God. And so here, relationships, what we're talking about, God created us for it. So what does God have to say about it? If he did all this, then he must have something to say. Oh, he has a lot to say. In this story, I want to give you three things God says to us about relationships. What he did in this story, what he was telling Elijah about relationships in this story,
that we can take from it. And this will be the first kind of the umbrella message that's leading into all of us getting much more specific, much more detailed on what the Bible says about specific things when it comes to communicating relationships and how to have the best relationships. What is your goal, Pastor? By the end of this whole month, that you would be so much better equipped. And some of you are walking in frustration because you're putting on people which you can only get from God. And I want to help you with all that. Or maybe I'll just give you some tools that maybe you and someone you know could just communicate a little bit better. Maybe for some of you that have held on to some things that you need to let go, maybe I'll help inspire you to let some things go so you can move forward in your relationship. First thing that we see that God would say about relationships that he said to Elijah is this: stop trying to do it alone. Don't do this by yourself. Don't try to make this all happen on your own. 1 Kings 19:9. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? Why are you in this spot? Now, the reason he asked this question in verse 9 is because what happened in verse 3. Now, let me show you what happened in verse 3. 1 Kings 19:3. Elijah was afraid, ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And then he traveled by himself from there. Why would he leave his servant there? Do you know what a servant is? Do you know what the point of a servant is? Why is someone even a servant that they actually, they're here, their whole life is wrapped up in serving and trying to help you with whatever you're doing. And here is Elijah. He's shooing away the person that God sent for him to help. And I wonder how many of us at times actually are shooing away relationships that God's bringing to us to help and trying to help us with. And so he says, don't do this alone. Why did he leave a servant? Why did he push him to the side? The one who is dedicated to support him. Maybe he said something to him. Maybe the servant was like, Elijah, why are we running? Look what God just did. Why are we doing that? Oh, shut up, servant. Come on. Or they just kept on, hey, they were trying to encourage us. And listen, I get it. There are times that I walk through something, and when I'm walking through something, I want a little alone time. I just need a little bit, okay? I don't want to talk about it. I just want to kind of, I don't want to. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I stay there forever, now I'm left with my own thoughts. And when I'm left with my own thoughts, uh-oh. No. Because he brought him here. Do not leave behind who God gave you to travel with. By the way, let me say this. If you are your only coach, your only pastor, if you are the pastor of your own life, if you're the only person that can speak into your own world, and if you're the only person that takes advice from yourself, and that's it, let us pray. Guess what? Because we all can go crazy. We can all think stupid things. And we need people in our life. By the way, I'm as your pastor, I have pastors in my life. I have several that are pastors in my life. I have coaches in my life. I have a marriage coach that's in my life. I have a mentor in ministry that's in my life right now that I'm paying for coaching to help us to grow. I have a board that helps speak into situations. I have a group of men who are like advisors to me that help me, that I bounce things off of. I have an executive team that we have on our staff. And above all that, I have my wife. And by the way, she beats everybody else out, by the way. She trumps it all, right? All of that. Why? Because I need it. Because we need it in our life. Because I've learned this. I don't always have the answer, but we often do. I don't always know what to do, but we often do. And I have to be the kind of person that can have people in my life, and I can't be so insecure that I can't let somebody come in my life to speak into my life what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I remember I was the first wreck I ever got in. I've been in two. One was my fault, the other was not my fault. But the one that was my fault, I'll never forget, I was actually going to interview for a job, and I got off the interstate. This is in Louisiana. And when I got off the interstate, I got in the middle lane. And when I got in the middle lane, I looked to the side and I saw, oh, that's the street I'm supposed to turn on. I was in an area I hadn't been in before. And right when I got into the lane, I saw it, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I looked in my side mirror, and I said, okay, I just got over, but I can get back real quick. And I turned, and sure enough, and I slammed into it,
And it wasn't because I didn't look in my mirrors. It's because I didn't look in my blind spot. Blind spot. We all have blind spots. Don't shoo away the servant who's there to help you see your blind spot. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. Always by yourself, rages against all wise judgment. I'm kind of gearing up for men's night. I'm excited about when I got a word for men's night. So can I pick on my men for just a moment? Men, come out of your cave. Come out of your cave. Can I tell you what men we like to do? And listen, I can be just as susceptible. We like to get our own little cave with our own little stuff and got our own little world exactly how we want it. And then we come home, my sofa, my food, leave my stuff alone. Me, here, bad, good. But here's the problem with that, man. God has so much more for you if you just come out your cave and see what God may want to put in your life. First thing he'd say is, hey, don't do life alone. Let's keep reading 1 Kings 19:15. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to, watch this, the desert of Damascus. You can easily read that and go right past it. Damascus. Why go back to Damascus? He's not from Damascus. It's not his hometown. It's not Damascus. Why would he say to go to Damascus? Now, Damascus was very well known for a place of trading. In one version, in the Strong's Concordance in Hebrew, you will actually see that it can be interpreted as Damascus is the weaving place. It's the weaving place. It's where things are woven and brought together. And here's the second thing that I know that God wants to say, that he is saying in this moment, say, hey, don't do life alone. Here's the second thing you say. God works on our lives through people who were woven with the destiny of your life. Make no mistake about it. The destiny of your life is attached to the people you're attached to. It's attached to the people you've done life with. You cannot weave yourself together. You cannot be woven with negative people and expect to be someone full of faith. You cannot weave yourself with the things of the world and actually expect to be holy and godly. No, what relationships we weave ourselves with, it helps us show who we are, and it teaches us, and God shapes us through people. I wish it could be watch a video and now I got it all figured out. But he actually makes us work it out with others. It's a blessing and a challenge. Let me show you the blessing. The blessing is this. You ever sit down with somebody, you're dealing with some things, then they start telling you about stuff they're dealing with, and you're like, this is awesome. I'm not the only crazy one. There's at least two on the planet Earth, you and me. Come on, you get married, and you start talking, you hang out with another couple, they start fighting over something and talking back and forth, and then they apologize. I'm so sorry for arguing in front of you. Like, no, this is awesome. Keep going. I don't feel alone anymore. I'm not the only one who thinks these things. She's not the only one who thinks these things. There's something powerful. Small groups getting together. There's something powerful about getting a group and you start hearing people talking. You're like, wow, they jacked up too. This is awesome. We all get a chance to work through these things and grow in our lives. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Doesn't that sound great? Isn't that a great something you put? You put on a poster board, you get it carved into something, you put it over your wall, and men like to do this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's powerful, right? Then you actually live and iron tries to sharpen you. You know what iron sharpen iron is? Oh, come on, anybody know somebody that's a little rough around the edges? Don't point, don't look. A little rough around the edges, what they need a little iron and sharpen iron. That's what it is. It's hey, no, we gotta get this right. Hey, do you wanna know? I've grown so much. I've grown so much in my leadership. I've grown so much in discernment. There's so many things I just didn't even know when I moved here that I've learned through so many great people. There's so many business things that I didn't even know. There's a whole side of things of starting a church that I didn't get, that I didn't know. I've learned more about real estate. My Lord, I've learned more about real estate. I didn't ask for it, learned it, and I learned about patience, learned about grace. You know where I've learned all that through? People. People. Man, I'm just asking the Lord to grow in grace and comfort and peace and patience. And then you get mad at everybody that you drive around. You know what he's doing? You came to church today. Someone stole the parking spot that you were waiting for. And you're like, these stupid people, I can't believe this. They call this church. And they just pulled in front of me. I came in here, I went to get coffee, a guy caught in front of me, didn't even see. They call this a church. People supposed to be loving and caring. It's called people. People. You ever have to learn how to forgive and you didn't do anything wrong? You ever feel justified and you're like, no, I'm not forgiven because they're a punk. I'm not forgiven. And they were wrong and they know it. Then Jesus reminds you, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you in heaven. Well, never mind. I'll let them go a little bit. I'll let them go. It's cool. Let them go. You follow what I'm saying? It's iron sharpened iron. That's the difference between a church gathering. We could easily do the gathering thing. Can I be honest with you? It'd be easier. It'd be so much easier to pastor this church if we just did everything we can, spent all the finances, everything we could just to make the greatest experience. Y'all have fun. Don't talk to me. I'm not going to talk to y'all. Y'all don't talk to each other and just get out. But we're called to be a family, not a gathering. And guess what happens in family? Stuff. Come on, y'all, we just came off of holidays. And y'all know what y'all did. Hey, when Uncle Timmy talks, don't listen to nothing he says. Don't even go by Aunt Gertrude over here. You know old Aunt Gertrude over here. Don't even talk to her. You know what she's going to say. And come on, you know you get the mischievous cousins. They're like, man, when we go to Uncle Bob and we ask him some questions about politics, he's going to go off. Watch, I'm going to do, hey, what you think about the election coming up? Walk off and he's there. Ah! Family. Iron. Sharpening iron. Can I tell you, in our church, I can just speak for myself with this, is some of the closest people that I have in this church, and there's people I'm really close to in this church, there's others that I'm getting to know, and for many of you that haven't had the privilege of meeting yet, look forward to getting to know you a little bit more. But do you know the people I'm closest with? I'm just be honest. I've been people that somewhere along the road I've had conflict with. You know why? Because the enemy comes and his goal is to isolate you. And so the way he's gonna do that is get you offended. And if I can get you offended, then I can push you apart. But guess what? The enemy always does, and he overplays his cards. Because when he tries to get you offended and you refuse to be offended and you push through that offense and you sit down and you have a conversation, guess what? He just lost big time. Because not only you have two people who aren't offended anymore, now it's two people who are closer than they were before. But many of us, we're not willing to push through it. We're not willing to push through the fence. They're an idiot. I'm out. They get on my nerves. Cut them off. No. Biblical conflict resolution, all the things. You know, press in. The people I'm closest to in this room, we had some rough moments. We had a few patches. We had to work through some things. But this is what we did. Are we spiritual family or not? If we are, then we refuse to let the devil win. He ain't going to win. We're going to push past this offense, all that, because that's what he wants. Now, did I offend you? Possibly. Did you offend me? Possibly. Did I try to? No. Did you try to? No. Well, we just missed each other along the way here. So you know what? Let's push through this. In the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as just disposable throwaway relationships. Now, there are some you got to put boundaries. Don't misunderstand me. There's some that if they get off a little bit, you have to say, hey, man, I love you. But the Bible talks about separating ourselves from somebody if they cross that line. So don't misunderstand me, what I'm not saying here. But what I am saying is some of us are so willing to walk away from a relationship that is God's provision for you and for me. That's why I love this last service, because I'm not bound by that stupid clock and I can just preach what's on my heart. But I need you to go to 5:00, all right? But I need you to go to 5:00. Same thing, ain't nothing going on after that. So y'all good, all right. All right. I got to move on, okay. First thing, I believe the Lord said, we see in here,
He said, don't do life alone. Secondly, God works on our lives through people. He does. He does. The third thing, I want you to hear this. I believe God is saying, he is saying to Elijah in this moment, he is saying, I'm going to show it to you. And I think he'll say to us is, when you want to give up, get connected. When you want to give up, I want you to actually press in and connect. Verses 15 and 16, the Lord said, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, whatever the name of that place is, to succeed you as prophet. You know what he did when he wanted to quit? I want to give up. I don't want to, God, take my life. That's what he said. You know what he did? He pressed him into a friend. One of those was an ally. And actually, Elisha was his protege who took everything over and was actually anointed double what he was and made double that impact. When you want to give up, press in to relationships. That's what he said. Because this is what I truly believe by my heart as our worship team comes up. Your next breakthrough is not found in an opportunity. It's found in a person. A lot of us are looking for something to fall upon us, and God's given you a person to help you with breakthrough. Let me make it real practical. When I was 15, got on fire for Jesus, knew I was called into youth ministry, didn't know how it was going to come about, didn't know how I would get that opportunity. Can I tell you what happened? I didn't get some mysterious phone call. I didn't just show up somewhere, turn in a resume and get it. I was at a youth rally, a youth convention in Alexandria, Louisiana. And when I was there, I met this man named Larry Smith. Larry Smith. He eventually became my pastor, and now he's my father-in-law. And we call him Poppy. And you know what? I was looking for the call of God. How would I get this opportunity? And I met a man. And then I went and became the youth pastor, and something else, I didn't even know. This is part of God's provision. He press in. It's the kingdom of God. It's about relationships. The currency of the kingdom is relationships. And I meet his daughter named Stephanie Ann Smith. And I was like, I need to figure out a way to make Stephanie Ann Smith Stephanie Ann Smith Robinson. And I did. 4 kids later. I mean, my pastor, Pastor Steve, had an opportunity and just grew. I can't tell you the leadership and so many things that we do here, I learned from him. I learned through relationship. You know how I learned about Katy, Texas? Didn't even know this place existed. I get a phone call one day as I'm a youth pastor in the New Orleans area, and it's my pastor, and he said, hey, I've been in conversation with this person, and he's in Dallas with his family right now, and he actually wants to be a youth pastor. So he's going to come down here, and he's going to work underneath you, and you can teach him, and he may go back off and be a youth pastor. I don't know. And his name's Dave Madden is his name. Dave Madden. And Dave, we sat down, and I'll never forget, Dave looked at me, and he was so proud. He said, yeah, you know, I'm from Katy. I'm sure you've heard of Katy Tigers, the football team, huh? And I was like, No, I've never heard of him. He's offended. He goes, the universe knows about Katy Tigers. Are you kidding me? How do you not know? And I didn't. And I repented and the iron sharpened iron deal. And had no idea that in the future, that seed of knowing that person opened up a door where God always wanted me to be was going to put me when it was all said and done. It came through a relationship. You know, as I end, we often look at the story I just read. When the earthquake, he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. He's in the still, small voice. And he is. And we teach that. And we show these things. But we often, I can't tell you how many times I've preached that message right there and zoom right by this. Yes, the still, small voice spoke. But what did he say? You know what he said? Get connected. Go find these 3 people. And in your destiny, what I have for the nation is going to be found through these relationships that I'm sending you to. Because this is what I do know. Your greatest resource is your relationships. It's your relationships. It's your friends. It's the people around you. And we want to help provide that for you.